This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hello and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh and I am here with Brandon K.
Hello, Brandon.
Yeah, last name withheld marginally. Just the last initial will do. Thank you. Actually, from where I sit, I know that we just finished watching Game Week 28, but I don't really know who I am or what's going on in the FPL anymore. I'm so confused.
I'm confused too, and I feel a little betrayed by Chelsea because all season long my fantasy season and Chelsea's fantasy season were mirror images of each other. Everything was going wrong. It was inexplicable. Nothing was going to make anything better. And then like the comeback starts, several good game weeks in a row. But I have fallen off the table again, and Chelsea keeps playing well. And I don't know how I feel about this.
So they're sort of like they've moved on and they've left you behind.
Yeah. I'm still in the relegation places and Chelsea is like scrapping, like maybe getting a Europa League spot now.
So who are you now? I guess you're Alan Pardew at this point, right?
I think I am. Oh God.
You're a very close personal friend of mine, Josh, and I wouldn't try to say that to you unless we were on a fantasy podcast, but I think you're Alan Pardew.
I am Alan Pardew. It's tough but fair, Brandon. I think
I'll tell you what, Josh. I will be your Emmanuel Adebayor, and I will do nothing to get you out of this situation.
So it's been a pretty weird fantasy season. It's been an even crazier, just non fantasy English Premier League season. I mean, it's impossible to know. It's hard to even pick players right now to perform because it's so unclear. You know, players for your fantasy team to perform because it's so unclear who's going to be playing well. I mean, it looks like, you know, Man City is maybe on the comeback trail. This kind of an inspiring, you know, 120 minute win versus Liverpool in the Capital One Cup, and then they get destroyed by Liverpool 3 days later. You know, it looks like Spurs just like have what it takes, and then they go to West Ham and they can't score a single goal. Yeah. So it's hard to and some of these, you know, there's no shame in losing at West Ham, and you know certainly Spurs have as many fixtures as anybody. You know, just in terms of all of their various cup commitments and things like that. But yeah, just a strange year, and we're here to talk about it.
Well, it was a strange week if we want to just bring it up to the present day. Game Week 28 is a classic. Round of midweek games in that in the context of the league, it was wildly captivating and intriguing and has kind of reshuffled the deck. But as you were saying with fantasy, basically nobody scored any points. If you followed that wisdom
game week 27 and 28.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Like pick your team based on who's playing West Brom and who's playing Norwich. right. I mean, I guess if you're captaining Diego Costa in game week 28, that works out for you. But everyone assumed that Leicester was going to totally rock Norwich City, and Captain Vardy, Captain Mahrez, you got a guaranteed Huth clean sheet. I mean, thankfully, Cameron Jerome cannot. I mean, Josh, if you think you feel bad about your fantasy season, think about how Cameron Jerome feels every night of his life.
So I played my all-out attack this week, Brandon, and had I not played my all-out attack, Russell Martin would have come in for me. Yeah, because Chris Smalley didn't play. And Russell Martin was actually the one who fed Cameron Jerome that ball. So it would have been the worst punishment, really, to have Russell Martin, who has been buried so far on my bench for so long, getting like somewhere between 0 points and negative points every game week.
So it's official. The all-out attack chip is cursed. If you're a co-host of the Always Cheating podcast, and we predicted this, you sent me an email and said, oh, I'm going to play my all-out attack just to juice this game week a little bit. And I said, well, Dele Alli's not going to start. And yeah. You'll remember when I played my all-out attack, it was like game week six, and yeah. Mesut Ozil didn't even start. So there's just no way for us to get this going.
There really isn't, and I'm suffering from a little, as you know, Brandon, I'm suffering from a little bit of FPL on Wii at the moment. It's really hard for me to just get motivated. I'm sort of like I really can't win any of the leagues I'm in, and it's just kind of I'm feeling a little. I have some FPL related depression at the moment. but I'm gonna power through. You know, this is my fifth year.
Just pop some Xanax and you'll be fine.
Yeah, this is far and away the worst year I've had, but I'm just going to try to – I'm just going to keep – it's like, you know, in the abstract – okay, so I think a lot of people – I mean, it could be that if you're having as bad a year as I'm having, you're just not listening to fantasy podcasts. I totally understand that. But if you are and you're feeling a little down at the moment, I mean, you know, I'm just trying to figure out, like, okay, do I enjoy watching the weeks, like, even when I've got nothing to play for and have, like, players in those games? I do. Like, it's still – there's still something you find – it's just it's a smaller form of competitiveness because you know it doesn't really matter in terms of winning the leagues, but it's still satisfying to have your players play, and it's an opportunity to try some different formations, to try to play some differentials. I mean, you have nothing to lose. I mean, you know, it's like, what's holding you back from playing a lot of differentials? I mean, it's like this abstract idea that someone is going to, you know, click on my profile, go to my statistics page and like see my finish this year, you know? Uh-huh. And I just I don't want someone to see me finish 1.2 million or, you know, some really, you know, middle of the road score.
It goes on your permanent record.
Yeah, but it's going to be really inexplicable too, because it's so the highs and lows of my like finishes are just all like, I can't believe I'm doing this badly. It's really, it's almost become anthropological where I'm just like, like, this is like, it's kind of fun just to like watch it now.
You well, know, yeah, like, me and it. Everyone listening to this podcast should count themselves very lucky that they have the inside track as far as your season goes, because people will be studying this season or Josh's season for a long time to come.
And if Margaret Mead were still alive, she'd be studying the season right now.
Well, I was on cloud nine just ever briefly after game week 27, because believe it or not, in the Hail Cheaters Super League, I got a green arrow.
Wow.
I think I went from 210 up to 207.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah, so despite us continually adding new managers, I still managed to go up, and I didn't even have that great a week. So that was huge. And the other thing with the Hail Cheaters Super League that really made me smile was I was scrolling through the team names the other day, and I found somebody in our league whose team name is Pizza Hooth.
Pizza Hooth is a really great name.
Now, that works on multiple levels, as you know, because it's like Pizza Hut, but also Claudio Ranieri bought all the lesser defenders pizza when they kept their first clean sheet. So Pizza Hooth, if you're listening, Thumbs up, man. Keep it up.
That's a great team name. I think I already have my team name for next year already picked out.
Ooh, do you want to reveal it, or should we keep it a secret?
Let's reveal it. I've been complaining. We've had the lows. Now let's have the highs. Now, as you know, Brandon, I've been watching a lot of The Great British Baking Show.
I enjoy that. Based on your recommendation, I started watching it. Really enjoyed
that's
it.
That's right.
It was really sad when Ian threw his ice cream into the bin. You know, we were all Ian in that moment.
We were all Ian in that moment. It was, you know, he lost his head a little bit, but, you know, who among us hasn't?
Yeah.
So I think my team name is going to be Proving Drawer FC.
Yeah, exactly. I actually made a Proving Drawer reference the other day. I was talking about Hail Caesar, and I think I had mentioned to you that I thought the movie Hail Caesar was a little underbaked.
Right.
And, yeah, I took it one step further and thought it should have been left in the proving drawer a little bit longer.
I think, I think when we were texting about this, I said that one man's underbaked is another man's shaggy. And yes, to me, it was just a little shaggy. It was just a little all over the place.
All right. Before we get to, it's just like totally Brandon and Josh on the aisle.
Right. Right.
Yeah. We're recording this before the game is fully updated. So we don't have the updated standings in the Hail Cheaters Super League yet. So Josh, will you post those on social media once it's updated?
I definitely will. And so, yeah, a little bit of a different game week. Obviously this podcast is going to be going up until, until late Wednesday night, or early Thursday morning for some of you guys. And there's really no point in rehashing too much of what just happened because,
it's not, I don't know what happened.
Part of it is because we were at work and we were sort of like furtively watching our, I actually was in a meeting for like 90 minutes of this. So I came back and watched highlights and video recaps and all that stuff. Yeah. So, so we're going to talk about just a couple of hot topics. So these are just hot topics based on, we're going to focus on three different teams, kind of just touch on them. And then we're going to take, we had a lot of Twitter and Facebook questions. We're going to take those and then we're going to do the optimizer and, that's it. So we're going to keep it pretty light this episode.
Yeah. It's been pretty heavy up to this point. So let's lighten the mood.
Let's lighten the mood
and talk about a hot topic.
Okay, I would love to talk about my next year's team, Proving to RFC, all day, but I'll hold it for another time.
And if you have any feedback for Josh's 2016-17 team name, hit us up on Twitter, at Hail Cheaters, or on the Facebook page.
Only if it's positive, though.
Yeah, let's keep it positive out there.
Let's keep it positive. Okay, so hot topics. You know, we really shouldn't call these hot topics, Brendan. These are more like hot teams or hot takes on teams.
Yeah, Hot Topic is just a store in the mall where you go to get your skeleton lunchbox.
All right. So the first we're going to talk about three teams. First team is Man United.
Yeah, Manchester United is – yeah, you're like, Yeah, I mean, if you're going to pick winners and losers from game week 27 and 28, Manchester United is perhaps the big winner. They're now level on points with Manchester City at, 47 points?
Mm-hmm.
And Marcus Rashford scored 4 goals in 2 games, including that Europa outing for his debut. He's a huge up-and-coming star. Juan Mata captained the squad today against Watford, scored a beautiful free kick. Everyone's sharing these vines of Memphis Depay on Twitter of him doing cool tricks and flicks. Now, I notice how all these GIFs actually end before you see what actually happens after Memphis does his trick. I'm guessing he probably loses possession or shoots the ball up into the upper deck. So if you look at these players and these results, Manchester United seems like a team that's on the rise. But then go look at their upcoming fixtures. So they're blanking in game week 30. Before that, they are away to West Brom, but then they blank in game week 30. And then they have Manchester City, Everton, and Tottenham all coming up in a row. It's kind of a deadly run of fixtures there. So,
yeah,
I'm wondering if this is as good as it gets for Manchester United.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I mean, it seems like you could probably get away with. I certainly wouldn't be bringing anybody in right now. I mean, they could score away to West Brom, but they certainly could have conceded a goal in that game. I mean, the Marcus Rashford thing, like, it's just like, can you really like? I mean, I guess if you just want to like play. Like if you just don't care, right? You know, like sure.
If you're just a big United fan, you want to run Rashford out in your FPL team, go for it.
Yeah, he's not a guaranteed start though, and he's there are better third mid. If you were a midfielder at 4.6 million, it'd be very tempting. But as a forward, there's no point really.
And particularly now with Martial healthy again, it looks like Rashford could get pushed out wide. And though he's a young athletic guy, he'll certainly still be competing. He's a great player.
Yeah.
His fantasy output then becomes in doubt again. So we both have United defenders. I had De Gea in goal and you have the injured Chris Smalling. My one move that I'm contemplating for game week 29 and actually just looking ahead to the next month of fixtures is dropping De Gea for Joe Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Because City do have a game in game week 30, and they'll obviously have a double game week coming up sooner or later. And, you know, they have Villa at home and then Norwich in game week 30. So there's presumably a clean sheet. I mean, famous last words, but that's kind of how I'm feeling. I'm feeling like United defender to City defender in the next week or two.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense. I don't know that you can read too much into their loss. They just play Liverpool in the Capital One Cup final and, tough match. They defeat Liverpool. You can see, Liverpool really coming out wanting revenge at midweek. So, I think that makes a lot of sense. Aston Villa, Norwich, even Man United at home is probably there's a pretty good shot of a clean sheet there.
Yeah.
And like you said, double game week coming up at some point. So, yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
All right. Who's our next hot team, Josh?
All right. Next hot team is Swansea. Just picked up a huge win at Arsenal. Pretty much guaranteed their safety, I would say.
Yeah.
I don't know how in doubt it really ever was, but if it was, I mean, they're 6 points above the drop now. And, of the teams below them, I mean, Sunderland, Norwich, Newcastle, Aston Villa, none of those teams are any better than Swansea. And Swansea's probably actually a little better than Bournemouth, is 2 points above them. So I think they're definitely pretty safe.
Without a doubt. And I think Swansea, not to get too outside of the FPL game, they were just hard done by some bad luck and just poor, unnaturally poor performances earlier in the season. So it's sort of like it's I feel like their position in the table doesn't actually reflect the kind of team they have.
So the next three game weeks for Swansea are particularly interesting because they're home to Norwich, away to Bournemouth, and then home to Aston Villa. And that Bournemouth match is particularly tempting because so many teams are off in game week 30. And I don't know. I mean, I could actually see myself picking up maybe two Swansea players over the next. I have two transfers. I didn't make any transfers this game week.
Likewise.
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to make a full move to two Swansea players, but I think one is definitely in the offering.
Sigurdsson is clearly the one. I would be hesitant to pick up a Swansea defender. Just they don't keep very many clean sheets.
Yeah.
I mean, Ashley Williams got his goal today, which was fantastic, but Sigurdsson is the guy. Ayu has just gone weirdly absent in the last months. I guess he like takes 3 weeks off and then he posts double digits and then he takes another month off.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I think you're totally right. I think, 5 goals in his last 10 matches from Gylfi Sigurdsson. Great assist today on the Ashley Williams goal. I think he could really dominate. I mean, I guess Ayu, if you're looking for a bit of a differential, although let's see, Ayu's ownership is at 12%. Sigurdsson's ownership's at, Sigurdsson's at 4.2%. He is still definitely your differential.
That's outrageous. And he's quarterbacking that team right now, Sigurdsson. Everything's going through him and he's taking all the dead balls. He's the man.
He is. Yeah. So, I guess you got to stay away from their forwards. I mean, Gomis, like, come on, dude. Like, Gomis had a brilliant chance to score one of the easiest goals you can score. It was like, last seconds of extra. I don't know if you saw this.
I didn't see it. Tell me all about it.
The last seconds of extra time, Peter Cech comes up, tries to score a goal. Ball falls to him, and basically is an open goal. I mean, it's like half a field away.
Yeah.
But he kind of like Bafétimbi Gomis is so committed to not scoring right now that he like it's like the 95th minute of 5 minutes of extra time, and he's like dribbling the ball around, and then he kind of half-heartedly kicks the ball just halfway down the pitch.
Do you think it's an art project for him now?
I think his life is an art project.
All right. Speaking of Peter Cech, our next hot team is Arsenal. And Cech, this is just unreal. This is just like the most Arsenal thing of all time, where they're having this terrible run. Their title hopes are going through the ringer, I guess, to put it mildly. And Peter Cech goes down with a hamstring injury after running back from coming up for a corner kick at the end of this Swansea match.
It's really, I mean, this, it's just hard to, I mean, it's such a broken record because we talked about it on so many podcasts, but I'm starting to feel like I just can't even deal with this Arsenal team. Like I just got, and I've decided as an Arsenal fan that I'm going to put all my frustration in the Arsene Wenger basket. Uh-huh. and not blame the players, because a better manager will find a way to motivate his players, and he can't do it. He doesn't have whatever talents it requires. He does not have them. And, it's so frustrating. I don't know what is going on with that team.
So you're a Hector Bellerin owner. How are you feeling about?
I'm terrible.
Peter Cech being out, the clean sheets coming up for Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, so they have the West London Derby, the North London Derby this weekend. Then they're home to West Brom. I mean, the problem with Bellerin is that despite what he showed last year, he has absolutely no attacking threat this year. It's incredible. I mean, like, the guy just never, like, he makes no runs into the box. You know, he hasn't scored. Doesn't have an assist, like stretching back to game week 9. So,
right. Yeah.
Just not a very influential player. I mean, I think he's a great player. I mean, from a non-fantasy perspective, I think he's fantastic. But yeah, I mean, I'm definitely looking to get rid of. I'm looking to get rid of everyone on my team. Like, this is like, if I were like, you know, this is like if I was like an NBA team and it was at the trade deadline, I knew I was going to make the playoffs. It's like a fire sale. Like, no one is safe. Everyone can be on the way out. Like, who am I keeping? Who do I even? Mahrez stays. I love Mahrez, probably Payet too, because I love Payet. At this point, I'm just keeping players I actually like. I don't like Smalling. He's out.
You know? You're out, Smalling. You're done. Nobody likes you.
I don't really like Aguero. He's probably on his way out too.
Oh, wow. That's huge. That's a bombshell.
Well, the Aguero thing we'll get to in a little bit. But I have to say, I think a lot of people are going to be a little disappointed this weekend, I think, with Aguero, because I think there's a very good chance he does not start at home to Aston Villa.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be favoring that Champions League second leg heavily. Like, Pellegrini is going to want to win that game.
So 120 minutes against Liverpool, then plays the full 90 at midweek, and then has this huge Champions League match coming up next week. And then they're home to Aston Villa, the worst team in the league.
Yeah. You could get away with starting Iheanacho in that. Or Boney is healthy again, I suppose.
Yeah, and Boney is healthy again, too. I mean, I'm sure he'll make the bench, but I think there's a really good chance he doesn't come on. He actually could not come on at all, I think. I mean, he could even not make the bench. I really think that if you're going to captain Aguero this week, I'd be very careful who your vice captain was.
That's interesting. I mean, Aguero does strike me as a guy. He has that Alexis Sanchez sort of mentality where if he's fit, he wants to play. And I don't know for what reason it is he wants to play. I mean, who would really want to play for that Manchester City team? He's clearly just playing to score goals and right. For his own personal pride. I'm sure he has great love for the City organization, but I think you know what I'm saying.
Sure. Very classy. Very classy.
Yeah, he's a classy guy. No, I know you don't like him, Josh, but I think he's a classy guy. Uh-huh. Yeah, everyone must go from your squad. And I mean, Ozil will remain in my squad simply because he continues to produce amazingly.
Sure.
But other than that, there's no other person on Arsenal's team now that Cech is down with an injury and it's all but confirmed that he's out this weekend. There's no reason to keep any of these guys.
I totally agree. All right, Brandon, that's enough hot team topics. Aaron Ramsey, drop him. If you have Aaron Ramsey, get rid of him.
Oh, yes.
Obvious already.
Yeah, that's very obvious.
All right, let's get right to that was fun. Did you have fun with that? I don't even know what that was. We like talked about teams for 5 minutes.
That was a cool hot team. It was a hot take team.
That's right.
Team talk.
It was like we were warming up our vocal cords a little bit. You know,
I'm going to dub that section the hot take team talk.
All right, let's get right into what really matters, Brandon, which are the people who actually listen to this podcast who have asked us questions on Twitter and Facebook. Now, you can still really matter if you didn't ask us questions on Twitter or Facebook, but it is nice. It's nice to have them.
Yeah, it is nice. Well, it's nice because everyone listening, they do matter, but we can put names to your ears if you post questions on our Facebook page or our Twitter.
Some people matter more than others. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, we won't name names. We won't name names.
We're not going to name names, but I think you and I both know that some people matter and some people don't.
I mean, I keep a list next to my computer. It's like a running list. I have a few names that I've scratched out and a few names that I've written at the bottom that I like more than others. So, you know, read it. Read into my tone of voice as we go through these questions. Who actually means more to me?
All right. First, and don't read anything to the order of these questions either. These are plucked. I think these are basically in reverse chronological order. Because I was too lazy to structure them.
Yes, order has no bearing on who matters.
All right, ready? Let's start with our Facebook questions.
Okay.
All right. First question is from our friend Scott Gill. Not a real life friend, but an online friend. A pal in the internet world, like our friend Siraj Garish.
Yeah, exactly. How you doing, Siraj? Scott, we're not saying you matter or you don't matter, but just listen to my tone of voice.
Scott says, okay, so this Scott is kind of going to frame these questions for us a little bit. Why do we put ourselves through it? Every week the pain, big guns fail to deliver, clean sheets are hard to find. Is it time to give up? And if you wrote all that out, it would actually be an acrostic that spelled Benghazi.
Oh, Scott, don't think like this. This question from Scott, it totally reminds me of that scene in Never Ending Story where Atreyu is trying to get his horse out of the mud. And he's like, Artex, you've got to believe. But Artex, he just wants to be done. He just wants to be submerged in mud and be put out of his misery.
Scott,
don't go out like Artex, man.
Yeah, I mean, you've gone this far. Don't be a quitter. See it through to the bitter end. Next season will be better.
Yeah.
Just enjoy the small moments, the micro moments. You will still experience some pleasure if a player on your fantasy team scores. It's still going to be fun. You know, it's no fun to like the part of the problem is that the season is it's too long, right? Let's like face up to it. And you know, I think as fans, we really need that Christmas break too. You know, it's like whenever it comes around, I'm really excited about it, and I love that there are, you know, 17 game weeks and 13 days or whatever it is.
Well, the best thing about it is all these games are happening while our offices are closed.
That is true, but I think in the end it's a false prize or something like that. I don't know. There's probably an expression that I could use here, but we like it at the time. But in the end, it's like having too much sugar. You know, it's like you wear yourself out with it. You know? And so it'd almost be better to have that. See, the Germans know what they're doing. You know, like in so many things. I mean, like modern industry and like well-run government.
Yeah, you drove that Volkswagen for a long time, didn't you, Josh?
And the Bundesliga, a very well-run league. They wait until till January when the season finally starts up again. Like it's time to like catch a breath a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Well, you saying appreciate the small things, it reminds me of that, which was a beautiful, beautiful assist by Mahrez in their most recent match against West Brom. Oh, Mahrez has this beautiful assist. To who? How is this going to impact the FPL game? Oh, Andy King? Andy King scored? So, I mean, yeah, that allows me to really appreciate the Mahrez assist, and then I can just sort of give up on the Andy King goal.
Yeah, Andy King, God, that guy's a legend. He played a lot more last year.
Yeah, he was a fifth mid. He was a bit of a fifth mid legend in the FPL game last year. And
I think he's been on that team a long time, too. So I was happy for Andy King.
Yeah, wonderful forehead on that guy. Big, big dome. He's like Vincent Kompany. You know, he's like a small version of Vincent Kompany.
For a guy who's barely played this year, it was incredible that he scored that goal too. It was really, I mean, it was a great assist from Mahrez, but he still had to place it just right. You know,
well taken.
Boot it. All right, Scott Gill also says, why does Antonio outscore Payet? Why Aguero and Vardy can't score anymore? Why Barkley continues to blank? Why Southampton can't defend? Just a few questions. I'm assuming he's asking this rhetorically, so let's just move on.
Yeah, as I said at the top of the show, I am confused. It sounds like Scott shares my confusion. I'll just take this moment, since our good friend Scott has brought up the name Antonio. I have to confess that I kind of talked smack about Antonio when he first came onto the West Ham scene. Mm-hmm. He just seemed like a big unit who just sort of was like moved around the field and didn't look like in full control of his movements. He's turned into an amazing player for that team. And if I didn't have Piatt, I would absolutely pick up Antonio just based on that Homer Simpson goal celebration alone.
I mean, Antonio is a fantastic midfield option at this point. I mean, there's really no reason to doubt that it's going to – I mean, you know, I mean, it's not like he's – I was trying to pick a consistent midfielder, and I couldn't think of anyone outside of Mesut Ozil because there barely been any. But, I mean, so you're not going to get Mesut Ozil-level returns from him, but he is – like, for his price and for his consistency the second half of the season, yeah. He is a fantastic pickup.
He's a classic form player too. Like, that his goal celebrations. He is having the time of his life out there. And if you're gonna judge on form, that's the exact kind of form you want to look for.
Yeah, I mean, his price is 5.3, and he's owned by 2.6% of managers, and he scored 11 points 2 weeks in a row. Those are very Ozil-y returns. 11 points. 11 points is kind of like Ozil's like. I bet that's the number that he has the most this year in terms of like his game week score.
I like that. Ozily. Hashtag Ozily.
Very Ozily. And 11 is an Ozil from now on. All right. So next question, kind of a follow up on Scott Gill, considering it was a response to Scott Gill. Aiden Green says, this guy, Scott, echoes my thoughts. He can call him Scott. What's all the this guy talk?
Yeah, this guy.
This guy echoes my thoughts exactly.
We're all friends.
Why do people who don't change their teams outscore me? Why does nothing happen the way it's supposed to? Now, I will say, you know, we put this question up like seconds after the game week was over. So, you know, tensions were running hot in the always cheating forum.
People feeling very philosophical at this point in the day, in the game
exactly.
week.
So, you know, it reminds me of my favorite line from any movie. Maybe my favorite line in life, Brandon, the one that I think of the most,
yeah.
Which comes at the end of the movie Unforgiven, when Gene Hackman is about to get shot by Clint Eastwood.
Whoa, and spoilers.
And he turns to Clint Eastwood and he says, I you can't do this to me. I don't deserve this. And Clint Eastwood says, deserve's got nothing to do with it. Ooh, and,
That's cold.
It is cold. And Aiden, deserves got nothing to do with it. This has been an especially weird and fluky. I mean, like Leicester is winning the league, okay? Like nothing, everything is weird. It's a very strange season. So, if anything, the fact that you're playing badly is a sign of how good of a player you are. And people who are doing better than you and me, Aiden, are actually playing poorly. And so just like, no, everything's topsy-turvy right now. I mean, Brandon K is beating me like 25-4 in our head this season.
Cats are sleeping with dogs.
That would never happen in a normal season. So, you know, what Aiden, it's just a one-off blip. Don't worry. Things will get back to normal next year. I'm sure of it.
And Aiden, I'll respond with a movie quote of my own, since Josh had his movie quote. This from the classic movie Heat, in which Val Kilmer asks Robert De Niro why he doesn't have any furniture in his house. And Robert De Niro says, Val, you shouldn't have anything in your life that you can't leave in 30 seconds flat when you feel the heat coming from around the corner. And that goes for podcast co-hosts, and that also goes for members of your FPL squad. So, like Josh was saying, there's some players on our squads that are feeling the heat, and you will have success by being able to drop them in no less than 30 seconds flat.
I don't know about that. I still think you could basically have the team you had in game week 6 and be like in the top 100 in the league. It's such a weird year. I don't know.
All right, let's move on.
Let's move on. Kim,
this is O'Neil. Like this is such a movie cast. I guess we have that. We still have that Oscar buzz.
I guess that must be what it is. I haven't watched a lot of movies right now. I watched a bunch on the flight too. Did I tell you I saw Black Mass? It's excellent.
You did. You did say that, and I saw it as well. Fat Jesse Plemons, can't get enough of that guy.
I feel like that movie had no buzz, and yet I really liked it.
I agree. I think people were kind of like Johnny Depp wearing makeup again.
Yeah,
this time not a top hat.
Yeah, and he plays a brutal character, but yeah, It's worth watching, guys and gals.
Yeah, that's a Hail Cheaters recommends right there.
All right, Kim O'Neill, a more serious question. Who are the best mids to buy for those looking to make up ground? I am looking to ship Piatt and Sanchez and want two differentials midfielders who do not have blank game week 30s. Is it nuts to consider Sterling for Villa at home? I'll let you start on this one, Brandon.
It's extreme to call the Sterling move nuts because Villa is definitely a tasty fixture if you're looking at Man City. But yeah, if you want to start a conversation about Man City midfielders, that's not a conversation that I find very enticing right now.
We talked about this a little bit in the last week's podcast, but you know, Christian Eriksen is still around 10% ownership.
Yeah, Christian Eriksen, and as we were saying earlier, Gylfi Sigurdsson. I mean, we don't want to skew too heavily in the Scandinavian region of the FPL.
Yeah, we should find some non-Northern European options, too.
Yeah, I'm sure we can find them. But yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, those are two guys that you need to take a good look at.
It's too bad that West Ham are off in Game Week 30 because I really think that Antonio is a player who people are overlooking because his price is so low. And there's always that temptation to make a like-for-like price swap. You know, like if you're shipping out someone like Piatt or Sanchez, you're looking for someone in the 8 million to 12 million range. But at 5 million, I think that Antonio really gives you a lot of value. And not even value, but just like a lot of points. You know, I mean, he's just scoring a lot. He's in great form.
So here's a punt. I can't believe I'm even saying this because one of my favorite things to do is hate on Crystal Palace right now. Uh-huh. But Yannick Bolasie is just back from injury, and you can't help but be stunned by Connor Wickham's 4 goals in 2 games, all 4 of them beautifully taken. Uh-huh. So if they're going to get themselves out of the trouble they're in, and Connor Wickham, this would not be the first time he's done it, there's going to be some chemistry that will happen between the midfield and him, and that'll probably come down to Wilfried Zaha and Yannick Bolasie. And Bolasie just back from injury. He's 3% ownership in the game, and he's priced at $6 million. He's that explosive player that might be able to be a differential for you.
Yeah, I think those are those are all good options. I think we did a good job.
Good job.
Mike Jones on Twitter asks, is Peter Cech's injury enough to necessitate a transfer at goalkeeper, or should I wait till I play my wild card? Butland is my number 2 keeper. So, it's an interesting question. I mean, because one thing we got to keep in mind, too, is that there's a pretty good chance that Arsenal will have a blank game week 30. I know that they're away for their FA Cup rematch, but they are playing Hull City. I mean, they really should win that match. And the problem with Arsenal is that however long they say a player is going to be out for, you've got to add 6 to 12 years. So if a player is out for 1 or 2 weeks, that typically means they're out for like
– they're dead.
They're dead. Yeah.
Nobody has seen Abu Diaby for 18 years.
If it's like a little issue and they might play this weekend, it's usually like on the lower end, which means like 3 months.
Yeah.
If they're certain to play this weekend, they're usually on that for 2 weeks. So you really, everything is just, you got to add between 2 weeks and 2 months to every assessment that they give a player.
Yeah. If you look at Stoke's fixtures, it's not terribly intimidating, but it is mixed. Chelsea, Southampton, Watford, Swansea, Liverpool, then it gets dicey with Spurs and Manchester City. I mean, clean sheets, going back to the theme of confusion, you just cannot bank on these clean sheets. And if it's going to disrupt another more important transfer in your team, I would say don't bother, wait till your wild card. You probably have bigger fish to fry. You've got a great goalkeeper in Butland who can at least get you a save point.
Yeah, and let's just double check here. Butland is not off in game week 30 right now. He played, and actually, he's got a pretty good fixture in game week 30 too. So, I guess I would wait till your wild card, assuming that you're going to wild card probably around the game week 31 or 32. Then I think it's worth it.
Yeah, as much as Southampton is kind of finding a vein of form here, they're still having trouble scoring goals. They're just defending so well. So, yeah, if I'm starting Butland against Southampton, I'm not terribly concerned.
All that said, if you if your team is strong enough elsewhere and you've got the open transfer, I think that moving Peter Cech to, like, as you said, as you suggested, Joe Hart might be a pretty easy like for like move.
Yeah.
And it's not like goalkeepers' values rise so much. I mean, not someone at that price. You know, I mean, obviously Jack Butland's value has risen a ton over the last year, but you know, I don't think you're going to lose that much value moving Cech into Hart.
Don't sweat it. Just chill.
Don't sweat it. All right, Luke Funberg, Fun Shot, another pal of ours, says,
"Hey Luke, you might matter. You just might matter."
Luke says, is it time to ditch one of the Arsenal mids, Ozil / Alexis? If so, which one? Hashtag no humble brag.
What does that mean, no humble brag?
Because I was saying that we would allow rants as well on this week's episode. Okay. our rule of no humble brags still applies.
Oh, fair play. Well done, Luke.
Yeah. So, well, not Ozil, certainly. I mean, you can't, like, you said it earlier. I mean, you just can't ditch Ozil. He's too consistent. He's like the only consistent midfielder in the league. You know,
yeah, so really, I mean outside of Mahrez, yeah, certainly up there. But yeah, there's no real reason to drop Ozil, as weird as that Arsenal team is right now. Now Alexis picks up his first attacking points in God knows how long against Swansea. So.
But you could honestly get away with. I mean, the problem is, as I just said, you know, Arsenal probably isn't going to be playing in game week 30. So, I mean, I guess you could wait and see what happens. I don't know. You know, it's
all right. I know you don't like talking about money. I mean, mm-hmm. on all sorts of levels. Like, try splitting a check with this guy, seriously. but if you have Ozil, chances are you've probably had him for a while, and you've got a lot of value, team value, wrapped up in him.
Uh-huh.
So dropping him from your team is could have repercussions on your team value. Alexis, I can't imagine that his value has skyrocketed too much in the last month and a half, and it'd probably be pretty easy to drop him, and that frees up so much cash for your team.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, the concern then is just who do you bring in for Alexis? I mean, I guess all the players you talked about earlier make sense. I mean, yeah, I guess if I were dropping Alexis, I would probably look at Christian Eriksen. No blanks in game week 30. Offers a lot of attacking threat. You know, I don't know. I'm probably not going to play in most of those Europa League matches.
Additionally, so I know I'm in this position, but it's not who do you replace Alexis with. But what can you do elsewhere in your team? So Diego Costa is really coming into play in the game, and I can't afford to turn, say, Jamie Vardy into Diego Costa. But if I had a guy like Alexis in my midfield, drop him, replace him with Eriksen, good move. Bonus, I get to upgrade, be it an Agallo or a Vardy, assuming that we are losing some faith in Vardy at this point.
I like the way you said "be it" in Agallo. It sounded like that was his name. Like he was like a very unusual name. Be it in Agallo.
yeah, exactly. But I think you know what I'm saying there.
I do. Yeah. All right. So Nick Wright says City mids almost certainly not worth their FPL price tag, but worth the place in our squad given the kind fixtures and the game week 30 blanks. We did talk about this a little bit earlier. Sure.
Nothing,
I mean, why not, right? I mean, our eyes are open on City mids at the moment. We know what we're getting. The question really is, which City mid do we think is actually going to play this weekend? Because I think I think we can see some, like, FA Cup versus Chelsea level rotation this weekend. You know, and I just think it's a little – I'd be a little nervous about bringing any City midfielder this weekend outside of possibly Raheem Sterling, who didn't play in the Capital One Cup, is probably likely to play in the match this weekend.
Yeah, okay. So you say which midfield is actually going to play, and that works emotionally as well, because the biggest concern investing in the City squad is you don't know what temperament of team is going to show up game to game. And that is, I guess, what prevents me most from wanting to invest in the likes of David Silva or Yaya Toure.
Yeah, and Torrey is, an injury doubt now. So I think, if they were just resting him and Torrey was definitely set to come back this weekend, then, Torrey is probably the player I'd be most inclined to pick up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Next question comes from Graham McDonald, who says, who should we turn to for clean sheets as the usual reliable sources seem to have dried up? It is a tricky one. It's been a very strange 2 weeks. And a lot of the really consistent options, Leicester and Southampton and even Arsenal to some extent, have all given us, they've given some pretty soft skulls. I mean, I know that Man United's a tough place to, Old Trafford's a tough place to play, but I mean, to concede two goals to an 18-year-old, that is pretty weak.
You have to mention Spurs in that sentence as well, because they haven't been able to post a clean sheet in the last couple of games either.
Yeah, Chelsea too. I mean, it's been a strange, very just
Bournemouth.
Very strange.
Bournemouth seemed to have the most consistent defenses over the last few weeks.
Yeah, I think that Bournemouth is a pretty good show, Brandon. I mean, they have they don't blank on game week 30. There's a lot of threat from Bournemouth defenders. A lot of them they even got a goal from a Bournemouth defender in the midweek match. So I think from Cook. Daniels in particular, I mean, at 4.7 million, I think that he's a great option because it's just so hard to pick clean sheets right now, but he offers enough of an attacking threat that you kind of get a little bit of both with him.
Yeah. I told you this going into the midweek games where I didn't choose to make a transfer because I just had a bad feeling about these games. And it felt like one of those game weeks where it was just sort of an anything goes. So with clean sheets, I wouldn't like fully change your policy on them, particularly like Southampton, their next two fixtures, Sunderland, Stoke, or Manchester City, they have Villa, Norwich, Leicester City, they have Watford, Newcastle, Crystal Palace coming up consecutive game weeks. It could just be a blip. The clean sheets, they'll come and they'll go, but I think some of the big defensive players will keep posting clean sheets for the next 10 game weeks.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I mean, it's you can't read too much into recency, just assume that things are going to stay bad because right. We have, outside of the last two game weeks, we have 26 weeks of evidence that indicate that Southampton and Arsenal and Tottenham our team's worth investing in defensively, but I actually think all year long that Bournemouth have been a team worth investing in defensively too. So if you're just ready to make a move, I would definitely look at Bournemouth first.
Yeah. All right.
Krill Roth says, thought about Alexis to Cameron Borthwick Jackson to Silva and company, but after today's game, maybe go for some Swans instead. Siggy and Willie. I'm into it. We just talked about it. Swansea, all in. Silva is a little too anxiety-inducing, I think.
I would augment this to a little of both. I would do Company and Sigurdsson. So move Alexis and Borthwick Jackson to Company and Sigurdsson.
Yeah,
if that works too. For
I
you.
Think those are great moves.
Great. You're done, Krill. You're going to win your league.
You're done. You're out, Krill. That's a wrap on Krill Roth for this episode.
Hail Poku.
All right. Next comes from Joe at Gunnister. He says, we'd like to hear your thoughts on the possibility of a City bounce back. Joe, we wanted to acknowledge your question, but we've talked about it too much already. So I hope you liked our thoughts on it. All right. Roto Premier League.
Thanks for writing, Joe. You
thanks
matter.
For writing, Joe. Yeah, I didn't mean to be a snark. I was just kidding. Roto Premier League asks, Hail Cheaters, can we get an Emo Pellegrini Suicide Watch update? Now, Brandon, do you want to talk about Emo Pellegrini?
Yeah, I can share a few thoughts about Emo Pellegrini. So anyone who listened to our last episode knows that it was titled Emo Pellegrini, and we talked a little bit about the sort of ennui that is emanating from Manuel, our favorite Chilean Premier League manager at the moment. And I was motivated by all that, and I went ahead and started an Emo Pellegrini Twitter feed, and you can actually follow.
He's giving away the game. I hope that you like did that thing that's really lame where you followed like where like in your bio you wrote a parody feed by at Brandon Kelly.
Yeah, all tweets by at BSK Broiler.
Not the real Manuel Pellegrini.
Well, so in starting the Emo Pellegrini Twitter feed, I hope you go follow him and see how Emo Pellegrini is doing. He's not dead, he just hasn't tweeted in a while, and I can tell you why he hasn't tweeted in a while.
You have that on a t-shirt, don't you, Brennan? I'm not dead. I just haven't tweeted in a while.
That's not bad. That's really not bad. That might be my new bio, my new Twitter bio. But I realize I don't really know too much about the emo lifestyle. There's like this famous Twitter feed or popular Twitter feed, Emo Kylo Ren, based on Kylo Ren from the Star Wars movie. In case you haven't heard of Kylo Ren, everybody. And I was studying the Emo Kylo Ren Twitter feed, trying to figure out what makes a successful emo fill-in-the-blank Twitter feed.
I'm just trying to imagine you now, like, at home, it's, like, late at night, like, your wife's in bed, and you've printed out, like, all of these, like, pages worth of tweets.
I've got them all up on the wall,
True Detective season one. Yeah, exactly.
I've got my reading glasses, like, down on the edge of my nose. No, actually, I didn't do that. I was just, my wife went to bed, and then I went down on the sidewalk and kept grabbing all the young people passing by and being with a notepad and a pencil, asking them if they knew what it was to be emo.
What time of night was this?
It was like 2 a.m.
Wow. That must have been terrifying.
So just to give you a taste of what's going on at Emo Pellegrini, so you can find him on Twitter, at Emo Pellegrini, all one word. So this is after their Champions League match, City's Champions League match. Emo Pellegrini tweets, "After the Dynamo Kiev match, Fernando hugged me and told me to smile. I asked him, how could I smile when there's so much pain in the world?"
That's pretty funny. I don't know how emo that is, but that is pretty funny. Yeah.
This is more like my personal taste in maudlin pop ephemera. Like,
yeah, right. I mean, so, it's not bad.
Yeah. He also tweets, Emo Pellegrini, "I don't think the Champions League is more important than the FA Cup, but I do think that Magnolia is a very powerful film about regret." And that of course goes with our on the aisle theme this whole podcast episode. So yeah, follow Emo Pellegrini, and maybe through your shared love of following him, he'll actually come out of his depressed state and start tweeting again.
Ooh, and then it could be like rock and roll Pellegrini, or I don't know, like Roxy Music, like what is that, like glam,
like new wave.
Yeah, maybe new wave.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye out for updates on Emo Pellegrini.
Hey, that question was actually from our good friend Steven at Roto Premier League, and we talked about him before. Can't encourage you enough to go check out his rotisserie-style draft FPL game at Roto Premier League.
You got it. Lucian Madison says, "Thinking of picking up a City defender the next 2 weeks. Are City's next two fixtures dependable clean sheets?" And then he says, "Company?" Question mark. And we'll say company, period. No need for a question mark. Yeah. We agree. Company's the pickup. Let's go for it.
Yeah, company like a couple other people are asking, if you're looking to change out goalkeepers, Joe Hart is another route to those clean sheets. City is so famous for having heavy rotation on the wings, and Bakary Sagna, for whatever reason, hasn't been playing very much recently. That's got to be in favor of Zabaleta, right? Honestly, I've been following the City defensive line too closely.
I think so. Yeah, everybody loves Pablo Zabaleta. But that is like the one guy, even if you don't like Man City, Pablo Zabaleta is the one player you have to like on that team.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Lucian, I'm not sure if you matter. You do owe me money, though.
That's true. Lucian is a real life person we know, and he is making a late charge in our private league. He does owe you some money, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's the one guy in our private league who hasn't paid up yet. But he found the loophole. Lucian did. And I know anybody out there who runs their mini league, they know this manager. Every season, they're like, yeah, I'll get you the money. And then they end up winning. They come in second place and, like, breaking even. And somehow they never then learn their lesson.
Right. And like so many, like, mini league commissioners, you're a complete hard ass in the off season, and you're like, no one even gets the league code until I have the money. Yeah. And then, like, closer to the season, and then I asked you about our friend Daniel, who was like, I don't think I'm going to do it this year. And I was like, oh, yeah, so he's out, right? And you're like, I emailed him the code. He didn't even ask for it. I just emailed it to him. Yeah.
Well, no, Lucian, not to get too into our own personal mini league here, but Lucian is like, I got to tip my hat to you, Lucian. Actually, you do matter. He was a genius. Before I even sent out the league email, he emailed me and was like, so are we doing the league this year? Can you send me the code? And I couldn't just, like, not send him the code.
He put you on the spot a little bit.
Yeah. I screwed myself there.
It is amazing that first place in our mini league is a guy who didn't want to play this year. And second place is a guy who hasn't given you money in 2 years.
Exactly. There you have it. That's fantasy sports for you.
Yep. All right. And last question is from Chris G, who says, are you guys playing hashtag fantasy MLS this season? Hashtag Hail Poku.
Oh, Poku forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna be playing fantasy MLS, and I'll tell you why I'm looking forward to it, Josh. Because I am going to play fantasy MLS like I wish I could play the FPL every season. Like, kind of not care, not have it sort of run my life, sometimes ruin my life.
This is a fantasy.
It's a fantasy, isn't it?
It is. You literally are a co-host of a fantasy podcast. There's no way you're not going to get super into this.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, the other reason why I want to play fantasy MLS is because everyone who listens to Always Cheating knows you and I, we bought season tickets to NYCFC. So we have to get to know what's going on in Major League Soccer. I have a very vague idea. I know the Portland Timbers won.
First match is this weekend, right?
Oh, God, so I have to get my team together, like, a pronto.
I think so, yeah.
But fantasy sports is, like, it's such a great way to immerse yourself and familiarize yourself with all the different players and who's starting, who's on the bench, who's doing well throughout the entire league. So that's another one of my motivations.
Well, okay, so how are you going to get yourself – I'm not doing it. I need a break, mostly because the season has, like, killed me. It's taken, like, years off my life. And I know how dramatic that sounds, and I still mean it. So how are you going to, like, get yourself ready for this?
Oh, yeah. So I'm, like, a total newbie to MLS and MLS fantasy. So our friend Tim Shaw, who runs SoccerCaptains.com, this is, like, a total plug fest episode. But SoccerCaptains.com, they have a great team-by-team breakdown fantasy-wise. And Tim started a Soccer Captains MLS mini-league that I think you can join for free. So, yeah, go to Soccer Captains for more info on that. That's what I'm going to be playing.
All right, so let's get on to the optimizer, Brandon, and let's do something a little different this time. We've been running through things pretty quickly. We've answered a lot of questions, looked ahead effectively. Let's just do less than a minute on every game, okay?
Oh, wow, okay. This is some optimizer pressure.
That's right, but I think we can do it. I think we're up for it.
Okay, let's do it.
And I've got the stopwatch on.
Okay.
All right, are you ready?
I'm ready. Yeah.
It's actually just the Skype.
It's just the Skype clock.
Yeah, okay. Wait till it gets to 30 seconds here.
All right,
ready? And North London Derby, Spurs host Arsenal.
Arsenal are in total disarray. Spurs obviously lost, but they're the better team at the moment. I'll be looking for Spurs to win, actually 3-1, late surge at the 75th minute to make it 3-1.
I actually think they're kind of due for a big offensive performance, and I think Harry Kane's a little overdue for a goal. Dele Alli has been a little out of form, mostly because he's injured. But I agree. I think this is a Spurs win. I mean, it's a huge game for both teams. I mean, if Arsenal loses this match, they're really in trouble. And without Peter Cech, I mean, you have to be worried about them. So I don't think 3-1 though. I'm gonna guess 2-1 Spurs, and I think it's gonna be. I think Arsenal's gonna score first, and then Spurs will score two goals, like one in the 80th minute and one in the 85th minute.
It cannot be overstated how big a game this is. Such a massive game. I agree. Harry Kane due for a goal. The concern with Dele Alli is he tends to not perform, get attacking points when they're at home. He's an away player. So we'll see. Maybe he can
turn that around. I feel like anytime that stat pops up, it tends to go away. There was a thing like that with Aguero at one point, and it's just a fluky thing.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be starting Eric Dyer in this game. Just FYI. Yeah, Spurs. Yeah. Arsenal would probably be favored to score a goal here.
Yeah.
All right, I think we're over a minute.
That was 90 seconds. That's not bad, though.
Well, we started off with a blockbuster there.
We did, that's true. Chelsea hosting Stoke.
All right, Chelsea obviously on the rise. They're putting in some offensive performances. I will be starting Cesar Azpilicueta, hoping to get a clean sheet out of him. Stoke are very hot and cold offensively. I would look to Chelsea to probably keep a clean sheet here and dominate this game.
I do like that you said offensive performances, like which they kind of have done all season. In the first half of the season, they were offensive because they were so bad, and now it's all about the attack.
Yeah,
I think that Stoke will score in this match, and I think that they'll. I think this little Chelsea run is over. I have to say, I was not impressed with how they played in that Norwich match. It felt like the little spurt they experienced is starting to fade a little bit, and that match absolutely could have been a draw, or Norwich could have even won. So I'm going to predict a 1-1 draw.
Jerome.
I know, Jerome. 1-1 draw with a Shaqiri goal.
Oh, brilliant. Shaqiri.
He's been really playing well of late. We didn't talk about him earlier in the podcast, but he's an absolute fantasy differential as well. Great player, too.
Yeah, any of those stuck midfielders. Well, not any of them. I guess Shaqiri or Arnautovic.
Yeah. At this point, Shaqiri could be a little more consistent of a fantasy option.
Yeah. All right, we're over our minute. We got to move on.
Everton host West Ham. Very interesting match. I actually think that West Ham is going to win this match. And I am thinking about captaining Payet in this match. That's how
confident I feel. Oh, interesting. Payet away from home. Everton.
I don't trust this Everton defense, despite the fact that they just kept a clean sheet. I'm not seeing it. I think West Ham is, they're just rolling right now. And I'm going to go Payet.
Yeah,
2-1 Everton or 2-1 West Ham win.
Yeah, I would go with that prediction, and I think you're right. This Everton team is just a little too flaky. I mean, if I were to have made one transfer in game week 28, it would have been swapping Kane out short term for Lukaku. In hindsight, I kind of regret not doing that, but it would have only been for that game week and this fixture against West Ham. And I tend to agree, Everton's going to have a little bit a tough time against West Ham, and Lukaku won't be guaranteed a goal here. My last point on that is Aaron Cresswell is on death watch on my FPL squad. He managed to get a couple clean sheets recently, though he was on my bench this game week. But I think this is his last game week in my team.
Cresswell's last stand. Man City hosts Aston Villa. Match we talked about quite a bit already. Very tricky match from a fantasy standpoint. I don't feel that confident predicting a starting lineup for this match. Vincent Kompany, I think, is probably a sure thing to start just because he hasn't played very much this year, and they're still building his fitness back up. But outside of Kompany and probably Joe Hart, I don't see anyone else being a guaranteed start.
This is a wait and see. You have to wait until a Pellegrini press conference. And if there's any indication that major players will get a rest, then I agree. I would hesitate to captain Aguero. But if Pellegrini says, Aguero plays, there's no doubt in my mind I'm captaining him in this game.
That's true. I mean, if he just comes right out and says it, then I agree.
Which would be, I guess, weird for him to do. But I wouldn't wait. I guess I wouldn't hold my breath.
Yeah, it is possible. If he doesn't say that, I don't think I'm going to captain him. And I realize that could be like suicidal this game week, but that's what I'm planning to do. All right, then a relegation derby of sorts. Newcastle host Bournemouth. Really impressed with Bournemouth's win over Southampton.
I love that they've been able to keep up their level of determination through all the ups and downs this season, and I hope they keep going. Like Newcastle, I desperately want them to go down. I highly dislike that team for whatever reason, and I don't know. But I would predict a draw here. This feels very draw-y to me, like a 1-1 or a 2-2.
Yeah, I just think that Bournemouth is in such better form. I'm going to predict a 2-0 Bournemouth win.
Oh, interesting.
I just really wonder if this Newcastle team – I know that Jonjo Shelvey's really given it his all, but outside of him, I feel like this Newcastle team's kind of given up on the season.
I think they're due for a little goal spurt, actually. They can only bottle it up for so long.
Well, I like it when we disagree, so we'll keep that one in there.
All right.
Southampton, last.
We're making up some time here. I like that. That was less than a minute, so we can milk this next fixture.
Southampton, Sunderland. I'm definitely keeping the faith of Virgil van Dijk. I just wish he scored a little more. I want a little more goal threat, man. We kind of missed out on that.
And he is very involved in the offense. He's putting in crosses, weirdly, for a central defender. He's all over the field.
Turned out that Jose Font was the guy we wanted. I think he scored two. We both picked up Van Dijk almost the same week. Maybe he picked him up a week after me. And I think Font has like 2 goals and 13 bonus points since then.
Font wasn't the player we wanted. He was the player we needed.
that's true.
I have some questions about Fraser Forrester after his last two performances, though. He was letting in some weird goals. Now, he's a great keeper and all, but weird goals.
Yeah, I don't know. And he had been so rock solid before then. So I'm just going to chalk it up to a fluky, one-off sort of strange just a couple howlers, but I think he's a great keeper, and I think he'll recover his form.
Yeah, I think and Southampton attack will benefit from John O'Shea has picked up a little bit of an injury. Not unclear if he's going to be starting here, and Sunderland's defense could feel the effects. But I would be afraid of Sunderland if I were Southampton. They're putting up a fight to stay up, and I picked them to stay up, Sunderland.
Yeah, it's reasonable because Southampton—they're not really playing for the Champions League—and Sunderland is absolutely fighting to stay up. But I still think this is a 2-0 Southampton win. I mean, just based on what we've seen in the last 10 weeks from Southampton.
Yeah, I would say a 1-1 draw or maybe a 1-0 win for Southampton. Yeah.
And at the moment, Sunderland are actually—they're out of the relegation spots. They're in 16th place or 17th place. All right, final 10 o'clock fixture. A lot of 10 o'clock fixtures this game week. Final 10 o'clock fixture is Swansea hosting Norwich. I'm really itching to bring in a Swansea player for this match. I'm debating dropping Ross Barkley and bringing in Gylfi Sigurdsson.
I think that would be a good move.
Yeah, I think so too. And then possibly bringing in company actually too, because I got those two transfers.
Nice.
I think I would predict a big Swansea win here, like 3-1 maybe.
Interesting. Yeah, I like it. I mean, Norwich is crap. Free Mobokani. Why can Mobokani not get a start in this Norwich squad? Cameron Jerome is such garbage.
He's so bad. I totally agree. And I just think that I suppose Swansea is always a little limited at how many goals they can score because they really don't have any strikers. Gomez stopped playing after game week 4. They sold the game eater. So, yeah, tough time. They've been playing IU through the center, but it's just not really working out for him. Or like you said, he'll pop up with a 12-point game week every 5 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I agree. It's going to be an all Swansea affair here.
And then we've got the later match, Watford-Leicester. Hoping for a Leicester bounce back in this match. I'm really kind of... I hate to say, I know this sounds sacrilegious because I'm an Arsenal fan, but I really am pulling for Leicester right now. It would just mean so much for Leicester to win the league, and it's hard not to fall into this story.
I love them. I love Leicester City. I do.
I love Lamp.
That was my brick from Anchorman moment. but Watford keeps it tight. It could be tough for Leicester. We'll see. It's proven a difficult challenge for them to break down these teams like Norwich and West Brom, who are happy to just sit back.
Yeah, so. I agree. I do think Leicester will find a way to win this match. Let's go with 1-0. I think it's a very tight match.
Yeah, Leicester will win, but the armband stays away from Leicester City here. And Robert Huth, we're looking at you. Give me a clean sheet.
It's amazing that given what happened yesterday, we were all like, it's finally over for Leicester. The fall has begun. And as it turns out, they picked up 1 point on all three of their opponents for the league title.
It's incredible. Like, what a game. What a game week.
I know.
For the league.
Extraordinary. All right. So that brings us to Sunday. Crystal Palace hosting Liverpool. Yeah, very disappointing for Crystal Palace. We didn't even talk about, what's his name? Our favorite striker.
Connor Wickham.
He's actually your favorite striker. I don't really care for him.
He's the best striker to ever tie on a pair of boots. Now, there's something about Connor Wickham where, I mean, he's largely invisible for most of the season, but that man can just crush a soccer ball. He can crush it. He's got a great shot, and when he's on, and I think as much as I was big upping bringing in a Crystal Palace midfielder for a differential earlier in the pod, I think Liverpool's going to have their way.
It's hard to say. I don't know why Liverpool has been able to outscore Man City like 42-0 this year, and then they seem to struggle in matches like this. Well, so yeah, it's hard to know what Liverpool you're going to get, because the last time they beat Man City, they actually lost at home to Crystal Palace. So, you know, Crystal Palace played a little bit better this game week. They're actually kind of in a little bit of relegation trouble, probably safe, but it's still, you know, like, I think they only have, what, is it 33 points? So they're certainly not out of the danger zone. So, yeah, I mean, they have something to play for right now. I think that they could scratch out a point here. I do think it's unlikely, though. I'll predict a 2-1 Liverpool win.
All right. I have more faith in Liverpool than you do this game week.
Okay. Final match is West Brom hosting Man United.
Oh, my God. So West Brom, free-flowing, attacking football coming from Tony Pulis.
And Craig Gardner.
Craig Gardner is unbelievable 2 game weeks in a row. Rondon definitely looks like that is like a punt beyond punts. But I guess if you're desperate for a differential, he seems more guaranteed to be on the ball than like Saito Berahino does at the point of that West Brom attack. But United will probably make this game difficult for themselves. And it'll probably be like a 0-0 draw.
yeah, 0-0 draw sounds like just about perfect, doesn't it? So let's go with that. Let's end the podcast on a 0-0 West Brom Man United draw.
Oh, beautiful. All right, good ep, Josh. Good ep.
Yeah, wide ranging. I people might actually hate this episode. It's hard to say.
Well, yeah, I think
let us know.
We sincerely appreciate all the questions on Twitter and Facebook. And just to recap where you can find us online, our website is alwayscheating.com, where you can find all of our contact info. But you can follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters. And our Facebook page is facebook.com/alwayscheating. And Josh, don't forget to subscribe to the Always Cheating podcast on iTunes or SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts, like Stitcher Radio.
I plan to do that as soon as this podcast is over.
Have you written a review of our podcast on iTunes yet?
I have my wife write one. So, yeah, we're all set on that. <front.
laughs> Awesome. Great.
All right. Well, hail cheaters, Brandon.
Hail Poku. Good luck this weekend, Josh. Talk to you soon. Yeah.
Same to you, Brandon. All right. Bye.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.